Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us tonight. A lot of great basketball talk on the program. So let's get right to the introductions. We have in studio from the RCN Sports Department and the Lafayette Sports Network, Mr. John Leone, co-host of the program and senior sports writer from The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Groller. And joining us via the phone line, the head coach of the Lafayette women's basketball team, Kia Damon, is joining us. Coach Damon, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Talk this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you here. Congratulations on a great year. And, you know, I want to ask you about that first year, because a lot of times we'll see first-year head coaches go through a transition period and maybe take a step back in terms of wins and losses, and the players take a couple months to kind of get used to everything. And it seemed like in your first year that there were a lot of great games right from the opening start of the season. The players really bought into what you were doing, and there seemed to be an extra level of excitement all year long that really started back from day one. So could you talk about that transition and how it appeared to go so smoothly?
You know, you're spot on. I give all the credit to the players. They embraced our staff. And they embraced, you know, what we wanted to do. I'm pretty sure if you ask them, you know, we warm out early, so we probably beat them in the submission, which is why, you know, things went so smoothly early on. But I think it was the perfect storm. I think they were hungry, and I think that they were ready, and they accepted the challenge. And, you know, I reminded them very early that there are a lot of naysayers about, you know, what they couldn't do. And I was told, even when I took the job, by some people who were, you know, familiar with my failure, you're going to struggle, you'll be lucky to win a game. And I just didn't see that when I watched film. I thought there were enough pieces in place. And obviously a positive spot, a bright spot, was the freshman class. And you never really know how quickly freshmen can adjust to the college level. But, you know, all three of the, you know, incoming players really did a good job of making an adjustment and being a spark for the team. So the blend of the new players coupled with the returning players kind of set things up to, you know, have the kind of season that we did.
Kia, if I might, this is John Leone. Thanks a lot for taking my call earlier and joining us. Kia, my question is this. Your background, obviously you've been around some outstanding programs, Penn State certainly and Cincinnati. Taking a job at the Patriot League level, and Lafayette in particular, can you explain to us or talk to us a little bit about that transition, maybe what you expected and what you got?
You know, I was familiar with the Patriot League, and because when I was at Penn State in particular, we played actually against Lafayette. I want to say it was during Diane Nolan's tenure. Mm-hmm. I don't know what year it was during her tenure, but we played against in non-conference play. So I was sort of familiar with at least some of the players within the league and some of the teams within the league. Obviously, there's a difference in, you know, what some of the aspirations are from the players that would be at a Penn State or a Cincinnati versus at Lafayette basketball. And I just knew that I was able to identify during the interviewing process that what Lafayette needed was perfect for my skill set as a coach. Just the way I like to go about doing things, and the type of young ladies that I've had success coaching, you know, were the young ladies who really had a strong academic background and had a passion and a love for basketball.
Yeah, it was evident right away. Chris hit the nail on the head. This team needed that kind of energy, and those of us who've been around the program for years and years and years were pleased to see the steps she took this year.
Key, I have a question for you. This is Keith Groller from The Morning Call. Tell me about the difference, because kids sometimes don't even understand the difference between a Division II player, and you were a Division II product. We're very, I think there's great basketball, by the way, being played in the PSAC, both men and women. But what's the difference between a Division II player and a Division I player? Let's say maybe a non-marquee league Division I player, like a Patriot League situation there. What's the difference?
I would say it's a little bit of the speed, athleticism, and size. And I won't say skill, but I'll just say where the skill is developed to. And I think at the Division I level, you see that right off the bat. Even you see the variance in speed, athleticism, and skill in the Patriot League. When you look at, Bucknell and American and Navy, even West Point, when you look at teams who have historically been strong, they have really big guards. And by big, I mean, 5'10 to 6 feet. And they're long, rangy, and athletic. And then you look at some of the other teams, and, their guards are smaller, maybe not as fast, more of a specialist type. So you have a kid who their premier strength is just shooting, and they're kind of limited in the other capacities. Whereas at the Division I level, you can kind of get a more bang for your buck, so to speak. So, within that same package of a kid who can shoot, you're also getting a pretty good defender, and you're also getting a kid who can attack the rim. So it goes back a little bit to just some of the basic fundamentals of basketball that kind of separates the differences. There are a lot of kids in the PSAC who could really go either way, and some of it depends upon what kind of experience they want to have. And I would say the same thing holds true from the Patriot League to the different conferences within Division I. It goes back to the experience.
Coach Damon, you came out of the Baltimore area. In the last few years, we've been covering more high school sports in the DMV, and we're seeing firsthand just the high level of competition at the high school level down in the D.C. and the Maryland area. Can you talk a little bit about how that development has been overall in the area, and also what's women's basketball like in the level of play down in Maryland and D.C.?
You know what? You're seeing comparable levels of play on the boys' side as you are seeing on the girls' side. Mm-hmm. I mean, year in and year out in each class, some of the top players in the country are coming out of the DMV. And basketball in particular in Baltimore has always been strong. There's always been an emphasis on girls' basketball, even in the rec leagues. So people start off at the CYOs or the local rec leagues, and they just kind of continue on. And what you're seeing right now is the generation that are born to, really good basketball players. Like, I can think back to, there's a really high-level prospect in Baltimore right now who's the daughter of someone I played with. So you're starting to see a lot of that, and you're starting to see a lot of the boys who have children and, their girls go into playing basketball. So you're kind of seeing kids who come from athletic parents, mm-hmm. Who just kind of continue the trend or even push it to a different level.
We're joined by Kia Damon, the head coach at Lafayette, first year as the women's basketball coach this year. I want to go back and talk about your team and the success that you had at the end of the year. How big was that win over Boston, a team that has been solid all year long? And what about those the freshmen and the sophomores stepping up with some big games, especially in that playoff game? What are some of the things they could take out of that experience and build on for next year?
Well, I hope they take confidence. And that's been something that I've talked to the team collectively about all year, that, when you haven't had the results that you want, sometimes your confidence can be based on that. And so I wanted this year to establish our work capacity, and I wanted our team to have confidence in the work that we were doing. And I think what you started to see towards the end of the year is as the younger kids started to settle in and they got an idea, okay, this is what conference play is like, and they started to see teams for the second time around, we knew that one of the things that playing against BU was they much like us, played a little bit of man and zone, but we always knew that we'd be able to get wide open shots and spot shots if we were able to move the ball pretty well. And you saw, at least in the Patriot League tournament game, that their pressure bothered us for a little bit. But once we were able to kind of settle in and get a rhythm with it and move the ball, we could get wide open shots, and that actually is the strength of our team, spot shooting, particularly from three. So I just think you saw the confidence of the group and particularly the young kids grow over the course of the season, and I hope that they use all of that as a springboard through the postseason and into next season.
Kia, one of the real bright spots, at least early on, was Natalie Kukowski. I've been around Lafayette basketball, men and women, for almost 40 years. Natalie Kukowski has an enormous ceiling. Can you talk a little bit? Keith can relate to this. It's almost like, you know, a young kid gets to the major leagues, and the pitchers aren't used to him, and they make the adjustment, and then he's got to punch back. At the end of the season, I thought Natalie faded a little bit. She set a very high standard. I thought she was a lock for the Patriot League Rookie of the Year. Talk a little bit about maybe was there a wall there, or was it a combination of maybe teams, you know, scouting her, finding her weaknesses? What's the game plan for her in the offseason? Because she's going to be a great, great player here.
You know, I agree with you that even though she faded towards the end of the season, I still think she should have been Rookie of the Year. When you look at the stats, there's no other rookie in our conference who touched as many stats, key areas statistically, as she did. But, you know, we voted, and that's what the vote turned out. So, quite honest with you, we're using that as fuel because I do think she's a very dynamic player. And clearly, you know, part of what happened, from my opinion, is that, you know, the hardest positions to transition to college are point guard and center, particularly in the girls' game, because when you're tall in high school, you're just kind of encouraged to stay in the lane and not really do too much. If you have too much size in comparison to the people that you're playing against in high school, anytime you touch them, it's a foul. So, you know, coming to college for Nat was really a rude awakening, and especially with how I was asking her to play, both inside and outside, and to be a dynamic defender and to impact the game in a lot of ways. So it really was an adjustment for her once people started to scout her more aggressively. And she will continue to grow. And to be honest with you, in high school, she played a lot facing the basket. So what we're asking her to do back to the basket is really new.
Interesting.
And so that will be a lot of where her postseason workouts are, just getting her more comfortable in back to the basket situations while also expanding her game on the perimeter, because we want to be able to move to more of a four out one in versus two post low. And, you know, Alexis is showing that she can really post and handle being an interior post player. And I hope Naomi coming in as one of the freshmen next year can also fill that as an interior post player. And so we can really offer a very versatile post group.
Kia, I'm just curious. We have a strong heritage here with girls basketball in the Lehigh Valley. Allentown Central Catholic's been super strong. We produce players such as, of course, I got to start with Michelle Marciniak, who won a national championship at Tennessee. Jackie Adams, she had a storied career at Villanova. Mary Lisicki had a great career at Georgetown. Way back when, Sue Ludwig was a star at Whitehall High School. The list goes on and on. Are you taking a good look at the Lehigh? Covering the boys, I often have seen Coach O'Hanlon out at local gyms over the years. Are you going to take a good look at the Lehigh Valley and maybe try to get one or two of our plum prospects out of the valley here?
You know what? We will recruit both near and far to identify the best talent that fits our system, and also, you know, wants the academic rigor challenge of a Lafayette. And, of course, we'd love to have people right in our backyard who are able to help us move the program forward and really establish ourselves as a power in the Patriot League and within the region. So we recruit everywhere. You know, I was on a plane to Kansas City. I'll go to California. I'll go wherever the talent is, and especially the talent that fits what we want to do and who we are here at Lafayette.
Well, I tell the kids all the time, no matter what sport I cover, take a good look. We got great schools right here in the Lehigh Valley. Certainly, your school right there on College Hill is fantastic academically. Great, great programs across the board, and great facilities too. And I'm always encouraging kids to take a look. And sometimes they don't have to go very far away to get a great experience. And I'm sure that's one of your selling points too when you get out there.
Yeah, but you also know, like I was a kid that wouldn't wait to you know 2 hours or so from Baltimore to go to school. You also kind of sometimes want to be close enough to get home quickly if you want to, but be far enough away that you never have to worry about your parents just showing up out.
Coach, I know you're busy with recruiting, but I'm sure you're keeping an eye on the Patriot League tournament. Semifinals are going on tonight. Navy and Bucknell are playing now, and Army and American.
You know what? I need to flip to that because the men's tournament had me occupied while I was cooking. But, yeah, I'm definitely interested to see, you know, who advances after the games tonight.
Kia, that's not what you told me today. You told me today that you are so depressed over the season ending, you didn't even want to be around it. And I'm with
you. Well,
you
know what?
I struggled to watch that game last night. I'm jealous.
I am depressed over with the season being over, but one of the things that I do to kind of help me get over it is I need to watch it.
Yeah, okay.
I need to watch different people get different ideas. I need to do – I may not want to really watch our league per se,
right.
But I really want to watch, you know, what's going on. You know, in the different conferences, as you know, they talk about the bubble watch. Like, I talk to the kids all the time. Like, I love this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
it's why you do all the work that you do, to be in a position to get into postseason play and, you know, to be in the games where there's a lot of marbles on the table, you know, for the outcomes. You know, that's the fun part.
And I have a feeling, Kia, that you're going to love it a lot more next year and the year after when you have got your team in it.
Oh, yeah, then I'll be telling you how nervous I am. And all that. But, you know, for right now, it's just building the team and building their confidence to know that, you know, we're one of those teams. And so and when we're talking about the elite and the Patriot League, it's not a statement that we make that we don't see ourselves in.
Coach Damon, before we let you go, I would be remiss without mentioning that one of the reasons why Lafayette is unique is the sports network. Not a whole lot of colleges have men's and women's basketball games, their own network, games being on, interviews before or after and halftime of your games. And, of course, you have John Leone to work with, who tells me he is the best announcer out there.
Hey, I get a lot of compliments from recruits and just fans who stream our games about how complimentary the announcers are and how knowledgeable they are about the game and about our players. So, you know, hats off to Gary and Joe.
Thank you, Coach. That's the only reason we had you on for that close.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck on your off season, and I know you're anxious for October to march around when some of these younger players will be back, and I know a lot even better things will be coming up in the future for you. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure.
See you,
Kia Damon, the head coach at Lafayette women's basketball. Her first year, a very solid season, a lot of entertaining games that you saw on the Lafayette Sports Network and on RCN TV, and best of luck to them going forward. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back and talk more college basketball and some high school state basketball playoff action, plus recap the district playoff action from last week in Pennsylvania. All that straight up. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. We're joined this segment again by Keith Groller, co-host of the program, senior sports writer of The Morning Call, and John Leone, the star of the Lafayette Sports Network.
You're killing me over there.
That's what you told me to say here.
Okay.
We're going to get back to college basketball talk in a little bit, but first, high school basketball. We have the state playoffs. We're going to be previewing those in just a minute, but I want to get your thoughts on the district playoffs. Keith, you wrote a great article in The Morning Call today. One of the things you said was about how some of the crowds were down. John, I think you would agree, the atmosphere at the Northampton game, the 6A Girls Championship between Freedom and Nazareth, the gym was nearly packed. It was a great atmosphere. It was a lot of fun, but that was not always the case. So, Keith, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on the district playoffs overall.
Well, it was a very different kind of a year. Last year we had all these marquee Division I players, some of which are in the Patriot League, like Sam Iamaiorio.
Yep.
you know, he is fantastic and had a great year at American. But, you know, it was an unbelievable year, and it was going to be a letdown. It was only natural that there was going to be a letdown. Allen certainly had a great following last year with Talik Williams and Tyrese Martin and, you know, Emmaus had David Kakaris and so forth, but there was going to be a letdown. And it was some different teams emerging. I mean, we had two teams that were 9-13 playing, not last year, playing in that 6A championship game. So it was an adjustment year. I think, you know, one of the reasons that the attendance was down is Becca does not, and we talked about it with Becca, you know, they don't draw really well right now. Central Catholic doesn't draw like they used to. And they were probably the two best teams in on the boys' side of things. And when you look at the girls, I think we had a situation where Southern Lehigh was expected to win. They won handily. They weren't even challenged in 5A. And Beck, as it turned out, wasn't really challenged by Central in the 4A final. So we had blowouts. The weather played a part of it. Sometimes it comes down to the mix of teams. Sometimes it comes down to location. Allentown, for example, they think Pleasant Valley is the other side of the moon. I'm telling you, I can get up there from my house in Emmaus in 50 minutes. Yeah. But you talk to the average Allentown person, and Allen played Pocono Mountain West up there. Oh, my gosh. That's way up there. Well, it's not that bad. It's really not that bad.
It's a nice
but
facility
think
up there, too.
They think it's bad. Yeah. And so you're getting these things in your head. And I think even Easton, even Forks Township, a beautiful gym up there in Forks Township, people from, like, Allentown, we want to go to Easton. They'd rather go to – they're used to more going to a Liberty or a Freedom. Yeah. And that's the way it is.
John, I think we may have lucked out. We may have had the best game of the week last week in that Freedom Nazareth final.
Absolutely. It was a classic. It was a classic. But Keith obviously has done his homework. I mean, it makes complete sense. So many marquee teams on both sides. I think the acid test, though, is at some point there is going to be that marquee matchup. And I think that girls game with Nazareth and Southern Lehigh, Nazareth and Freedom. Illustrated that. But Keith, you're right. Allen, Parkland, Becca, you had so many great players in the league, and people were drawn to those games. So I think we'll still find some good crowds when the right matchup takes place.
Now, going forward in the state playoffs, I think you'd agree that we have a better chance of going further in states on the girls' side. Bethlehem Catholic and Southern Lehigh, they may not even be tested the first couple rounds. We'll be talking about the broadcast schedule coming up. We're going to see both Becca girls and Southern Lehigh girls coming up this weekend. But your thoughts on entering the state playoffs, and what are going to be the more contested matchups this weekend?
Well, look, at every 6A game is going to be contested. I tell people all the time, and people sneer about, how does District 1 get 9 or 10 teams? And I'm saying, well, it all is based on proportion that District 1 has a lot more 6As than we do. That's why we get 4. Mm-hmm. So, but I tell them, don't sleep on a 9 seed like in the Chamonix. They're good. They have that, absolutely. I can't pronounce his name. The brother played at Villanova, Archie Diacomo.
Archie Diacomo. Yeah.
And they're good. He's a 25, I think, something like 25 points a game. He's a 1,000-point scorer. You know he comes from good family stock. Every game in 6A, I'm talking boys now, and probably girls too. Yeah. Are going to be struggles.
St. Joe's Prep.
They're going to be struggles. Yeah. I mean, Northampton's got Prep. Emmaus is going to go down. They should be comfortable. They're in the same spot they were in last year when they won 2 games. They got to go down there to play Council Rock South, and they're playing Central Bucks West, and they're playing on the number 4 seed out of 1. They should feel very comfortable. Now, this is not a David Cackery.
Oh, no. But team. You know what, I'll tell you, Keith, we saw Emmaus, and I'm not going to presume to tell Coach Yoder what to do, but you know what? When they played zone, they've got such length, and it's a one-game season, and if they run into the right matchup and they play that zone and they run into a team that has an off shooting night, who knows what they could do, because they've got great size. I'd like to see Sable get his hands on the ball a little bit more other than off an offensive rebound. And the two Pocono teams, East Stroudsburg South and Pocono Mountain West, I was impressed with them when I saw them.
I love how they both compete. And South, remember, again, I never got to see them. I feel a little bit cheated. I didn't get to see them when Greg Eck was playing for them. Okay?
Right.
He was their leading scorer, and he's been out now for the entire postseason, and yet they still won the 6A tournament. I have a feature. I'll plug myself here for a second. I have a feature on Sean Mumford, who is their head coach.
Right.
And that's a great story. This is a kid from Philadelphia. He went to Masterman High School in Philadelphia. He lived in a tough neighborhood, but he had good leadership from his mother, from his grandmother. He goes to Masterman, which is a high academic school. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
And then he goes from there to Bloomsburg, has an all PSAC kind of career, leads them to like 3 division titles. And he goes back and gets his PhD,
Those
gets his master's at East Stroudsburg University.
He wants to teach.
And this is the kind of kid, I call him a kid. He's like 38.
They're all kids to us.
Hey, you're right. I just had my 57th birthday.
You're a puppy.
But hey, I want him to be. I wrote about him and I said to him, "Hey, I want to put you out there. I don't think the people in the valley know you. I want you to, you're a role model. See, you're what everything's all about, this should be about.
And this goes back to your point before about, I think the interest in the league, getting back to your original point about crowds, you know, are there enough, when you've got great players, it takes care of itself, but there are interesting stories coming up. And plug yourself all you need to, Keith, because those things are important and people have an interest and then they come out to see these people play.
Well, like I said, I told them, I said, look, I want people to know you, who you are, because we need more people like you in the high school coaching profession. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he could be doing a lot of other things, I believe. He's a professor at East Stroudsburg University.
Need more people like that. That's
absolutely
great stuff.
But I think 6A was interesting this year because on both the girls and the boys' side, we kind of knew Southern Lehigh was going to win in 5A girls. Yeah. We knew Becca was going to win in 4A girls. We certainly figured that Central Catholic would probably win. I didn't think they'd win that big over Bangor.
Right.
We thought Central Catholic would win 5A boys, and we thought Becca would win 4A. So, but the mystery, the suspense, the drama was all in 6A on both the boys and the girls.
And I'll tell you, the game that Chris and I did between Freedom and Nazareth, I told Rich Bickert after the game, and I went over it. You know, it's cliche when you say it's too bad someone had to lose this game. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It just, that game just screamed it because Nazareth had it won, then Freedom had it won, then Nazareth had it won, and then Sylphies hits the shot. And you talk about a crowd. I mean, it was electric. It was a great atmosphere. And I'm thankful that both teams will move on and continue to play.
Yep.
Wanted to ask you guys about the 5A and 4A brackets, too. And I think both Central Catholic and Bethlehem Catholic have, and I don't pretend to know a lot of these teams in the bracket there. In fact, one of these teams, Greencastle, Antrim, I never even heard of before this week. But you look, the thing that I always look at is trying to stay away from District 1 and District 12. Mm-hmm. And both of those teams avoid them for the first two rounds. And I think that would be great if they could get some momentum before you have to face a team like that. How far do you think Becca and Central can go in the state playoffs?
I think they both can get to the third round, which is always my measuring stick. I said if I can get a team to that middle weekend of the tournament, you know, we're doing okay. We're doing good. Obviously, I'd love to see a team play for the state championship in Hershey again. It's been a few years. But I think both Becca and Central can win two games and get to – Becca very well could meet Wilson again.
Yeah.
And Wilson, were you there that night? They held the ball on him. Yeah. It was a great strategy.
Four-point game at halftime.
By Mike Lovis. But then ultimately, Becca said, hey, we got to speed up the tempo here and get some pressure on him and got some turnovers. And there goes your strategy. But that could vary because they're playing a Conwell League team that has only won like 8 ball games. Now, again, that's the Philadelphia Catholic League, and you could be an 8-win team in the Philadelphia Catholic League and still be pretty darn good. So, but it's a possibility we could see Wilson and Becca in the second round.
The thing about Central Catholic, first of all, I think they've got one of the really, really bright young coaches. He's young, not that young anymore, but Dennis Sensis. I think he does a great job. The other thing they have is they have possibly the best backcourt in the Valley in tandem with Jay Vaughn and Dat Lambert. Those kids can really control a game. So they kind of remind me of a Philadelphia Catholic League team. So I think they have a shot in a tournament situation. And, of course, you know, how can you compete with the size at Becca? You know, it's always that X factor. And, of course, they've got a pretty good guard in Paz, too.
And they get Paz, and they got DeAndre Gardner. And now, all of a sudden, they're getting some points and some good play from people like Kenny Bell and Ryan Santana.
Yeah.
I like that we're seeing a deeper bench, and they're going to need that if they're going to go deep in 4A.
Right, because the competition, you know, it just gets that much stiffer down the road. So those are exciting teams. And I'll tell you, you know, tip of the cap to Coy Stampone. He's done a good job. They stubbed their toe a little bit at the end there, but I'll tell you what, Northampton, I love the way they play together. They play hard. I'm not sure they got the overall talent to go very far, but it's been fun watching them play because I just like their team chemistry.
All right, we'll have more basketball playoff talk coming up in just a moment, but right now it's Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off and talks about everything and anything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, I just want to say, look, there's a lot of negativity. A lot of negativity in the world of college basketball. I don't know if we were on the air. We've been off for a couple of weeks, and I don't know if we got to talk about the scandal and the Arizona coach. But hopefully we're going to watch a great NCAA basketball tournament that's going to begin next week. And the rooting interest I have is a young man I happen to cover, Muhammad Ali Abdurrahman from Allentown Central Catholic, speaking of great guards from Allentown Central Catholic. What a great career this young man. A lot of people thought he was overshooting, you know, his limitation there by going to the Big Ten, but he has proven a lot of people wrong. He's a good young man who worked hard. Everybody who's made it, they have talent, but they've accentuated that talent with a great work ethic. And I talk about people like Darren Hilliard, and if you want to go back to Aaron Gray, who really kicked in up a notch when he got to Pittsburgh. Same thing with Muhammad, a good young man who has a lot of God-given ability, but he's worked extremely hard. He's had a wonderful career. Best part, this is his fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth year. I don't like college basketball as much as I used to like it because of the one and done.
Yep.
And it turns me off. I mean, I grew up a UCLA fan, a John Wooden fan, and now it's like every year UCLA has a couple good players. Well, they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah. Hey, if it's good enough for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, it's good enough for Bill Walton.
You know.
Hey, Keith, if I might, I know this is your moment.
No.
But John Beilein, the coach of Michigan, happens to be an upstate New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
He's close friends with our family.
Right.
My brother saw him during the tournament. You're right. Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, great talent. I think a work ethic that not all of us knew about.
Right.
But the third thing, and this comes from whoever is in that kid's corner, he picked the right program.
Right. You know, he got some help, though. This is sometimes a mutual, maybe you know this guy, Dave Rooney. Dave Rooney had a relationship with Beilein because he was the head coach at Slippery Rock at one point in time. He says, what's going on with this kid? John, I see this kid all the time in Allentown Central. That's how things happen. But you need a break like that.
Yeah.
But then you have to make the most.
You have
to make the most.
Yeah.
He has certainly done that. And I'll be rooting for the Wolverines and Muhammad in the upcoming tournament.
By the way, we do fine you for speaking during Grohler's segment. So
that'll
be something a little less of your pay.
Anytime he wants to join. You're not allowed. But anytime he wants to join in. More than welcome, John.
I saw an excuse not to pay him for the games this week. All right, more basketball talk coming up right after this time. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest, John Leone from the RCN Sports Department and LSN, joining Keith Grohler and myself. Special interviews coming up. Speaking of John Wooden, by the way, you mentioned him last segment. Award ceremony dinner. We have some interviews from that coming up in our segment for tonight. But people may not know this, but John has guaranteed the entire NCAA bracket.
Oh,
he is available to give tips on that. In fact, we have a graphic with some of his keys to bracketology, guaranteed to pick a winner this year. John, if we could turn attention to college a little bit, and who do you like in the upcoming NCAA tournament?
Well, it was real scientific. I went by the most colorful mascot, and I just, you know.
That's how my wife does it. Better than I do.
And that's what happened. So listen. So this is what I did. When you told me we were going to do this, and Keith, I'll solicit your help on this, but we have the usual suspects. We know from year to year pretty much who they are. There's the list right there. No particular order. But every year, these guys, they actually budget for one or two or three rounds into the tournament. There's no question about it. Then you'll have Cinderella's no longer. And Keith, you'll remember when Gonzaga, Gonzaga, you know, and Butler. I mean, who the heck was Butler? And Xavier, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Wichita State, all of a sudden these teams are regulars. So they've moved into that neighborhood. So Cinderella's no longer. Now, what's really interesting and what makes the tournament really what it is, these are the teams that have a chance to win a game. So when you're going through your bracket, keep an eye out for a team like Rhode Island. Are we going to switch it over here, Kath? Let me see. Not yet. Anyway, take a look at Rhode Island. St. Bonaventure, who's quietly having a great year up in Olean. Creighton, although they lost today. Now, if they sneak in, they just got beat. I forgot who beat them. Loyola Chicago from the Missouri Valley Conference, they've only lost five times this year. And Nevada has only lost five or six times against the pretty good schedule. So, you know, if you're looking for someone that, you know, that these are little guys, might be good enough to make a run, two or three wins. Here are the guys that could win a game. And after watching some of these teams, I'll tell you, after watching Bucknell, right, Keith? I don't know if you saw the game. They completely dominated a very good Colgate team. Mm-hmm. Bucknell started out 0-4 against what essentially was a major schedule. Yeah. And then they've lost three or four times. Vermont having a terrific year. Montana out of the Big Sky, check their record. Middle Tennessee State, Buffalo, Boise State, Murray State. Those teams could win a game. They could sneak up. You don't want to go to sleep if you're a low seed and you're playing one of these guys. Be careful. And, of course, then the final one is we just got done talking about Michigan. These are the guys you don't hear about. You hear about them every year, but they're not at the top. When you talk about a Big Ten, Keith, mm-hmm. you think Ohio State, you think
Michigan State,
of course. But these are the guys who are kind of – laying in the weeds, and they've had good seasons, but they've been kind of under the radar in major, major conferences.
Not to criticize anything you did here, but where's Villanova? Defending
champions? They're on the first sheet.
They're in the very first sheet.
Oh, yeah. You've got to put them more prominently, though. I mean, really, after the magic that they had last year, they had a couple bumps in the road this year, but they still look very solid. Don't you think they have a chance at least get to the Final Four?
Oh, of course they do. Chance. Anybody in that, they're a usual suspect. Anybody in that top list.
Well, now it's anybody. I thought you were going to guarantee the top champion here.
Hey, if I could do that, I would not be your guest on Talk Show tonight. I'd be someplace else, I guarantee you. No, it's you should see my brackets. It looks like a mosaic after the first week.
Are you troubled by the scandal, though, John? Are you troubled by it? And I know it's certainly Lafayette is a good program, always has been a good program. And I believe, and I'll add, he's one of the guys I root for. Jay Wright. I think he's a really good guy. Yeah. I really like him a lot. I root for the Wildcats. But the Calipari's, the Patinos, some other guys.
Sean Miller, yeah.
They've always troubled me a little bit.
What happens is you get caught in that environment. And, a head coach is responsible. The buck stops there.
Mm-hmm.
How much do they know what's going on? I think what it's going to come down to is, I don't know, this is just a pie in the sky, not sure. There could be a shaking out. There could be another separation where you have teams that will agree, this is how we're going to do it, whether it's sneaker companies or somehow take the influx of big money and have it filter down to players. And then you're going to have what will become the new Division I. Mm-hmm. And that will be schools that decide, no, we're not going to do that.
We're still about education first.
Right. And there will be rules maybe about one and done.
How soon do you think this could possibly happen?
This is in my mind's eye somewhere down the road.
I think it's a great idea, by the way.
I just don't know. The genie's out of the bottle. Mm-hmm. There's way too much money going on. And I think overall it would be good for the sport because people can decide what they want to watch, a pseudo-professional system or true amateur basketball. Mm-hmm.
I love your idea, John, but it's never going to happen. Because haven't we gone through this, blue chips and with Shaquille O'Neal and issues with college basketball every 20, 25 years or so? Media reports, okay, this is going to rock college basketball. Coaches are going to be fired. ADs are going to be fired. The landscape will change forever. And then after a year or two, it just kind of goes back to the way it is. Well, isn't that what's going to happen?
I think the thing that would change, and Keith, jump in here because I'm getting in way over my head, but I think what will change is that these bigger programs, because of all the money and because of the exposure, I think that it's the tail wagging the dog. The administrators of the schools have to get back in charge and say, this is what we want to do. I mean, there are things in the Patriot League that we would never consider, never even think about. It just would not be part of the paradigm.
I'm talking about the nationally ranked teams.
Well, that's where things have to separate.
I think a big factor is going to be you guys. I mean, the TV. Will the big network, or ESPN, support a breaking off of an elite
group.
Group that says we're going to pay players.
Never.
And we're going.
No way.
No.
I don't think
names are big. If Kansas goes, if Michigan State goes,
right. The hard decisions will be people like Villanova who have done it right.
Yeah.
And do they want to be part of that? And It could take on the aura of a minor league, so it could be okay. I still think if you trust the game and trust the system, I still think a Division I true amateur NCAA could work. But that the only way you're not gonna redeem, you're not gonna cure all the money that's in there right now. You're just not gonna take it.
And that's why TV won't separate. That's why. Make sure I answer your question the right way. TV will not draw a line in the sand and say, okay, we'll not do schools X, Y, and Z because you're doing something
illegal. I think a network will come along. Don't you think a network would come along? It might not be one of the big ones, but maybe Fox Sports 1 or
something. Someone else might be. But the big
money. It could be a windfall for those guys because all of a sudden, I mean, that's how ESPN blossomed because Tom O'Jackson decided that there's a market out there for championship week and all of these little, schools.
Well, let's not forget about the Internet. The Internet. I mean, any game could be on the Internet nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need a full production truck.
I still say
to do 32 cameras to do a game very well.
My big pet peeve with the NBA is the game is an aberration of what it should be, because it's a star-driven league. I think at the college level, if you trust the game, there are enough people that want to watch teams play the way Fran O'Hanlon plays or the way Matt Langle or Bucknell plays. There are enough teams that want to play, watch the way Pete Carril used to do it at Princeton. There's enough.
Yep. All right, so at the college basketball championship, I was going to ask you Patriot League first. Who did you like in the Patriot League to win it all?
Well, they did.
Or the girls. I'm talking about the women.
Oh, you know what? American is so good. They got great guards. Yeah. And the thing I like about American, they don't overwhelm you physically. They don't have anybody really big, but they play.
That's another thing I want to ask you about. And I was going to ask Kia.
Yeah, Kia.
Is anybody going to beat UConn? And I think UConn's dominance. And I'm a UCLA fan, and I grew up with that dominance, but it was a different world then.
Yeah.
I think it's really hurting the women's game. I mean, there's no suspense.
No.
There's no suspense.
You know what? I think that's funny. We're running out of time, but yeah. I'm telling you, the women have to go back to 30. The reason the women put a shot clock in the first place, in 30 seconds, because they were afraid. They got to get a shot up. Because if they don't get a shot up, there's going to be a lot of held balls, going to be a lot of turnovers. The women's game has advanced enough. Trust them. Put 5 seconds more on the clock. Let them strategize, because they can dribble, pass, and shoot. And they can run a system well enough to make it entertaining and effective, and it can be real basketball. You don't have to help them get early shots off before they turn it over. I think that would help. I agree with you. UConn's run, I think, is exceeding what UCLA's was before. I thought UConn was going to be. Remember when Lefty Driesell was at Maryland? He said, we want to be the UCLA of the East. Right? Yeah. I mean,
now you're dating yourself.
I know. I told you. You're a puppy. But, it's true. And all of a sudden, everybody that UCLA kind of pulled everybody along with them. Remember the big game at the Astrodome?
With Alvin Hayes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lou Center, right?
The women haven't done that yet. But I think after UConn, there's been, there's Maryland. Buffett McGraw's doing a great job in Notre Dame every year.
But it's still ultimately going to be UConn,
yeah,
probably.
Absolutely.
I guess the suspense is, can anybody beat them? But that's not the way it should be. The great thing about this men's tournament this year, there's a bunch of eight or ten teams.
I can't give you a team. I can't give you a team. I can't give you a team.
Villanova, come on.
Okay. Well,
hometown advantage. All right, John, thanks so much for joining us. See you tomorrow night at Liberty High School.
Thank you. And thank you.
Always good to be with you.
All right, we're going to take a break and be back with a special feature coming up on the other side of this timeout. This is RCN Sports Talk presented by. Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. We'd love to tell you about a relatively new program on the RCN TV network. It's called the DKN Sports Report, with in-depth stories on everything going on in the DMV area. It airs Friday afternoons at 4:30 p.m. right here on RCN TV. We'd love you to check it out. They're expanding their coverage, and they're doing more in-depth features. Among their recent stories was an excellent report on the John Wooden Award ceremony and dinner that was held recently with some big-time basketball names on a national level. And we'd like to present a portion of their feature on this great event that was held recently in the DMV area.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl Sandra here with DKN Sports, reporting from the legendary and historic Watergate Hotel, where tonight the Nell and John Wooden Leadership and Coaching Awards dinner is going down. We're going to be honoring the legendary UNC Tar Heels coach Roy Williams and inducting some local natives into the Washington Metropolitan Basketball Hall of Fame. An amazing evening with legends in the room means a lot for DC and DC sports culture. Tune in as we get some interviews with our legends up close and personal.
Good evening, and on behalf of Events DC, I want to thank all of you for coming out tonight for the 2017 Nell and John Wooden Leadership and Coaching Awards Dinner. As the face of convention, sports, and entertainment for the city, Events DC is uniquely positioned to connect various stakeholders that feed the sports economic engine, from event organizers and government agencies to professional and amateur sports teams and the business community.
What does this event mean for the game plan that Events DC has looking out to the end of 2017 and further into the horizon for 2018?
I'm glad you asked me that. This is like the first step for us into the award show kind of space, and we're really looking next year to launch our DMV Sports Awards, where we really will have an opportunity to highlight and showcase teams, coaches, players, individuals, and great moments from the DC sports scene. So we're looking forward to that.
Sounds like there's a lot on the horizon. Let everybody know where they can follow you guys on social media to keep up with all the events you guys are putting on.
At The Events DC.
Pretty simple. Guys, Eric Moses, Senior Vice President of Events DC. Eric, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
DKN Sports, check it out. I am with Danny Ferry. Danny, congratulations. You are being inducted tonight in the Washington Metropolitan Basketball Hall of Fame. How do you feel about that?
Well, thank you very much, first of all. I feel great about it because I'm very proud about being part of the rich history that's here in Washington, D.C. around basketball. Very proud to be a DeMatha guy, but very proud to be a D.C. area guy. A lot of great memories. A lot of people helped me along the way. And tonight is an opportunity for me to thank them, whether it was Coach Wooten or Coach Gay at Duke, Coach Popovich in San Antonio and others. You know, it's very fortunate in so many different ways. And basketball has been a great part of my life. And I'm excited to be here tonight. Bob Gagan's done some really cool things in town here as far as Capital Classic, just, you know, building and promoting the pride that's here around D.C. basketball. And there really should be. There's been a lot of great players and a lot of wonderful people that have made it that way. So it's nice that it's celebrated right now, tonight, for example. Again, I'm excited to be here and happy. And my mom and dad are coming, and nice night to hang out with them. David Falk's going to introduce me, which if you have a better friend than David Falk, I don't know. If he's your friend, he's a great friend. And he likes to talk tonight, so he'll probably end up talking more than me.
Well, I've known Danny since he's about 10 years old. It's wonderful for Danny to get in. He's very deserving. He was a great player. I hope this is a well-deserved honor.
Absolutely. He certainly has had quite the career, as have you. You are arguably the most influential player agent the NBA has ever seen. What do you think helped make you so successful in that role in your life?
Well, obviously, I was very fortunate to represent the greatest players, Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, James Worthy, Sean Thompson, Coach K. It's a dream of mine. When I was very young, I always wanted to be a lawyer, and I always loved sports. And the idea that I could actually do this, I had to pitch myself many times when I was in my 20s. It's been a dream come true for me.
Hey, everybody. Sandra here with DKN Sports. I am with the one and only Walt Williams. Walt, congratulations. You are being inducted tonight into the Washington Metropolitan Basketball Hall of Fame. How do you feel about that?
Oh, it's an amazing, amazing accomplishment. I'm so humbled, especially being from this area, Temple Hills, Prince George's County. You understand the history. You understand the type, the caliber of ball player that comes from this area. And to be honored like this is something that I'll never forget.
Absolutely. Like you said, a D.C. native, an impressive college career playing as a Terp, and a lengthy, very successful NBA career. So having an event like this here at the historic Watergate Hotel, what does that mean for the city and for D.C.'s sports culture?
Well, it's awesome. When you're talking about the magnitude of something like this, it's only proper that you're doing it at the Watergate Hotel. So all together, it's just a fantastic night, and I'm so happy to be able to enjoy this with my family and friends.
Absolutely. It's going to be an exciting evening. Now, I got to ask you, you were famous for wearing those socks high up above the knees in honor of your boy idol growing up. And I'm sure that out there, there's a lot of young basketball players that look up to you as their idol. What advice or words of wisdom do you have for them tonight?
Well, I definitely wore my socks high because when I played in the game, I wanted everybody to know where I came from. And that was a signature of ours. And I wanted to wear that badge of honor proudly to the kids out there. You know, nowadays, when you're trying to make it, it's so much input, so many people are involved in the process. The only thing I would like to say is that, you know, everyone gets a chance to have two names, you know, one they're born with and then one they make for themselves. And so that's the key. You go out there and you take that passion that you have within yourself and you try to accomplish whatever goals that you can.
Absolutely. Well said. A true leader right here and quite the athlete. Congratulations again on being inducted tonight. Enjoy your evening. Everybody, Walt Williams. I'm here with Gary Williams, former men's basketball head coach at the University of Maryland. Gary, thank you for your time. A pretty incredible event here tonight. What does it mean for the city and for D.C. sports to be having it here?
Well, it's a great thing because D.C.'s really been a great basketball town over the years. You go way back and, you know, just great players, great teams. And I'm very proud to be here tonight because Walt Williams, one of our great players, is being inducted. And Walt was very important to me, my career, and I'm just glad I can be here to see Walt go into the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Walt was kind enough to stop by earlier, and I had the pleasure of speaking with him, and he had lots of great things to say about the University of Maryland. Looking back on your coaching days there, can you share some of your fond memories with me from those days?
Well, when I first got there, Walt Williams was a big part of whatever success we had, and then we were able to get together and, you know, gradually build a team. And winning the national championship in 2002 was probably our best accomplishment. But there were so many really good teams and good guys to coach that they provide me, especially now, with a lot of great memories.
That's great. Congratulations on your success. Thank you for being here tonight, and enjoy the awards this evening. Everybody, Gary Williams, former men's basketball head coach at the University of Maryland. I'm here with Jonathan Scribner, the head basketball coach for the women at St. John's College. What is it like to be here tonight? What an amazing evening and an amazing event.
Well, I'm just super excited about being a part of all of this. I mean, anytime your name gets associated with the great John Wooden, you know something special has been going on. And all these other great basketball people that are here that have accomplished so much, you know, just to be a part of this is a great honor.
Absolutely. A lot of legends in the room, like you said. And what do you think an event like this being held here in D.C. at the historic Watergate Hotel means for D.C. and for its sports culture?
Well, I think it's fabulous. I mean, I'm a born and raised in D.C., and so, you know, my heart and soul is here in the city. And, you know, to come downtown into, you know, an area that I grew up in, and, you know, my father performed next door at the Kennedy Center for years and years and years. So, I don't know, this is touching a lot of special places for me. So, very exciting.
And again, a big thank you to the folks from DKN for presenting that feature to us. And again, to catch the latest sports news going on in the DMV area, make sure you check out the new show. DKN Sports Report airs Friday at 4:30 p.m. right here on RCN TV. And they're going to have some great features coming your way for the spring season coming up in a couple weeks. All right, our thanks to all of tonight's guests, for John Leone from the RCN and LSN Sports Department, Kia Damon, the head coach at Lafayette Women's Basketball. Our thanks to her for joining us, and of course for Keith Groller at the morning call for being here as well. I forgot to mention the upcoming schedule on RCN this weekend. On Friday, we're going to have live coverage. Gary Laubach and Tom Stout will have the 6A girls first round game, Easton versus Olney, followed by Central Catholic versus Greencastle Antrim. That'll be at 7:30, and then John Leone and I will have tape delay coverage of Nazareth versus Council Rock North, and then Bethlehem Catholic Boys versus Nanticoke. And then we have more Saturday action coming your way as well. Check it all out on the website, rcn.com/RCNTV. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.